Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. And now you want to talk about a story in antiquity. Somebody could make a movie out of this, and I'm surprised someone hasn't. But, Peter, I found out. Now, we're always told anyone that's in the Middle East, if they're in Iraq, if they're in Iran, if they're in Syria, if they're in Lebanon, they're anywhere in the Middle East, they're evil, we should just bomb them, kill all of them. Make the whole... I hear the joke cracked all the time, just turn that place into a sheet of glass. Oh yeah, that would do great things to venerate all the thousands of remaining Christian cathedrals and churches that remain from antiquity and from the era even before pre-Constantine. There is a church in Syria... I'm pretty sure it's St. Nicholas, that has the relics of St. Nicholas that was built at the time he was alive. This is 5th century, and it actually looks pretty good for wear and tear for being 1,500 years old.
Yeah. right. Yes. No, I mean, of course, that's the great tragedy of everything that's happening in the Middle East and in the currently... Muslim-dominated regions of the world is that they were all Christian.
Yep.
At one time. They were completely Christian in ancient times, and because of the militant Muslims, you know, swooping down with their swords, they either killed or forcibly converted, quote unquote, many of those Christians, and that's why we don't have Constantinople anymore and the Hagia Sophia. You know, we have Istanbul and a museum.
That's right.
You know. So.
And we also don't have Hippo anymore.
Right. No, and it's sad, but you know, there's also a lesson in that for us too, which is, you know, sometimes you hear people sort of glibly say, "Oh, well, you know, the Catholic Church can never fail. You know, Jesus promised that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail over it, and so on." And that's absolutely true. But he never said the Catholic Church would survive everywhere in the world, or in every diocese,
sure,
or in every parish, right? Just like any individual can fall away into apostasy by the abuse of his freedom, a parish can fall away into heresy, a diocese can fall away into heresy, and entire regions can be obliterated by divine permission, right? God can permit the Muslims to come in and destroy, you know, the church in Turkey or, you know, Asia Minor. And so what that reminds us of is that the promise is the Catholic Church herself will never perish. She will always survive. And as St. Athanasius said, even if there's only one Orthodox Catholic in the entire world, the Church has survived and the gates of hell have not prevailed, right? But this is not some kind of glib statement about, oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine everywhere. That's certainly not the record of history.
No, it's not. And it is one of those lines, though, that anyone that's worth their salt and considers himself a member of the church militant, that, you know, you have to know that. Well, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Well, like you just said, Peter, we're not sure exactly what that means. Wasn't there a pope that said in an encyclical or something to that effect that said or wrote something to the effect of that he saw, or maybe it was Our Lady of Fatima, that the church was seen as getting so small as to almost be unrecognizable. And from there, and from a very small remnant, it would rise again. It would be rebuilt.
There are a number of statements like that. I mean, at least I've seen them. It's not just one. I think that we've already seen that historically. I mean, that is, we don't need to just rely on a more recent prophecy.
No, you could see it. That's right.
If you go back to the 4th century and the Arian crisis, which was certainly the worst crisis the church ever faced. And I think right now we're in a kind of new Arian crisis, although it's not precisely Arianism, but but you know, it's to say a modernist crisis that's like the 4th century. But in the 4th century, I mean, there were vast regions of the Christian world that were just dropping like flies to the error of Arianism, and so much so that, you know, there's a famous statement St. Jerome wrote in one of his letters, you know, the world awoke and groaned to find itself Arian. He was expressing the fact that just about the, you know, anybody you talked to was Arian. You know, either they were fully Arian or semi-Arian or just confused, you know, and the number of professedly clear-thinking confessional Catholics was definitely a minority at that time. And St. Athanasius, I mean, the reason why he's such a great hero of the faith is that Athanasius was hounded from one end of the earth to the other. He was kicked out of his see multiple times.
Yep.
He suffered immensely simply because he held to the confession of the divinity of Christ. And, you know, who's to say that that might not happen? I mean, I pray it doesn't happen, but who's to say that might not happen with those who are defending traditional marriage and family and who are defending the teaching of the church on who can receive communion and so on and so forth? I mean, we may see something of that violence come back